This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Eat Shoots and Roots are a social enterprise on a mission to empower urban folk with the skills and tools to grow their own food. What began as a simple idea to bring together agriculture experts and people who wanted to know more about their food, Eat Shoots and Roots has today flourished into designing edible gardens on balconies and backyards for people in the city and running educational programs for kids and adults to help grow green thumbs, fingers, and more. To talk to us about their fruitful journey and how they're dealing with digitalization and competition in their space, we have with us on Open for Business today, co-founder of Eat Shoots and Roots, Lau Shaolin.
Hi, my name is Shaolin. I run Eat Shoots and Roots, and we've been around for 7 years. And what we do is we help people build and set up edible gardens, and we teach them how to manage them as well.
Shaolin, welcome to the show. First and foremost, let me just start off by congratulating you on your recent anniversary. Eat Shoots and Roots is 7 years old now. So I understand that you set out to empower urbanite city folk to grow their own food. But you know, looking back now, how much has the business changed from when you first started?
We've been around for 7 years, actually now going on to 8 already, right? Because it's the end of the year. But the business has changed quite a lot. I mean, when we first started, we were only running workshops on a project basis. We didn't have a lot of budget. And slowly, after running just workshops, then people started asking us to actually build and develop gardens for them as well. And so we started doing that. And we also started supplying materials as well, because then that's a different ballgame altogether. It's not just a service, it's products. We have to keep this in stock, push them out to different retailers and things like that. So it's changed quite a lot, but it's a nice change. So every 6 months, we actually have a bit of a meeting and we try to think, okay, how are we going to move forward? Because I think it's essential to actually pivot a lot and adapt very often as a business these days. Well, at least that's our experience so far.
So you said earlier you are now also supplying supplies. We're talking about the seeds, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe supplies is not the most accurate term, but we provide kits to help people start their own edible gardens, and we sell these with different retailers. For instance, Kinokuniya has been a long-time retailer with us. Tropical Spice Garden, we stock it in Ilham Gallery as well. So a lot of our products are actually more catered towards beginner gardeners, those who haven't actually tried gardening before. And it's actually packaged in a way that makes it easy for people to start. It's not targeted at your experienced gardener, but very much for the younger crowd, for people who haven't had their hands dirty before.
What kind of food can you grow from these seeds?
Ah, okay. So we always choose the easiest plants, because when you look up gardening online, actually, a lot of the resources are UK-based or American-based, and it's very different, the climate that they have there compared to here. So we try to choose the most easy plants. For instance, level one is kangkong lah. So if you can grow kangkong, you already, okay, that's one level up already, because it's the most easy thing to grow. And other things that we stock are like terong seeds, which is eggplant, chili seeds. So these are very simple things that Malaysians can grow. And so we try to push forth the local vegetable catalogue, I guess, in that sense.
But you don't need to like do a workshop at Eat Shoots and Roots in order to understand how to grow these plants, right?
Yeah, I mean, so we try to cater to a few different audiences. For the workshops that we run, it's for people who are a bit more serious, who want to go more in-depth into gardening. So we usually get in experts to come and run workshops in our space when it's an in-depth gardening topic. Whereas the products are more for people who haven't even touched soil ever in their life or haven't even seen what a seed looks like before. So it's two different audiences, so we try to cater for everyone lah.
You know, I'm just curious because I understand that you and Beatrice, you know, you guys come from the advertising industry. So how did that pivot happen from, you know, advertising into doing what you do today?
I think it was actually quite natural. I mean, it seems like a very distant connection, but a lot of the work that we do now is actually communicating to people about their vegetables, about how it's grown, teaching them. So with our advertising background, it actually helps a lot, because a lot of the work is in trying to educate people and telling them how things can be done in a simpler format, and to make them understand, and also to empower them in the process. So it's actually not too far off the kind of work that we do now. A lot of education in that way.
So I understand that when you guys first started, you felt that there was a demand in this space. You know, people living in cities who were keen to learn about growing their own food. Is the demand just as strong today? I mean, you're approaching almost 8 years, right? Is it still as strong as when you first started?
I think it's actually stronger than before because previously when we started, it actually started because we ourselves were demanding to learn about this. We wanted to learn by ourselves. And I think now 8 years on, it does look like there are more people who are interested to get into it. They may not be so aware, still not sure about a lot of things, but they're keen to get started and they sort of are looking towards finding out more. So it does seem that there is more of an interest in this area. And also a lot more players in the space also. So that's kind of like a big sign.
And whom would you say are your main customers, your average customer? And what are they looking for?
I think our main customers are actually families. And the younger families are the ones who are just starting out and they're looking for a new food source for their newly borns, you know, all their kids and stuff like that. Because I think when you start a family, that's when you become quite concerned about the food that you feed them. And that's when you start questioning a lot of things. So interestingly enough, even though our initial target audience were like the younger kids, and when I say kids, I'm talking about like 19, 20, 21, like actually youth. But they're not the ones who actually they're not so interested in the gardening part because maybe they don't have enough space or maybe their headspace is just not there in their food. But the ones who are starting out new families, those are the ones who are very interested in the work that we do.
And do you have like any numbers on how many gardens you've built in the city or how many workshops you've done?
So we have the impact report numbers on our Instagram, but the last count we had about 51 plus gardens of all different shapes and sizes. In terms of workshops, I think it was the last count was about 100 plus over the years. So when we run workshops, it's a mix of us coming up with our own workshops versus they're also companies that commission us to run it for their communities. So a mix of the two.
So now I've had the chance to look at your Instagram account and of course your website. So I understand what these mini gardens look like, you know, in the balcony or in someone's backyard. But maybe you can help our listeners out there listening to this for the first time, you know, kind of describe what these gardens look like for them, for their benefit.
So usually the gardens that are started on ground are very simple because you don't really need that much, I don't know, setup and systems and things like that. It starts with a planter box. So if you can get hold of a simple material that you can build a planter box out of, that's just it lah. So once you have this planter box, you can multiply it by 2, 3, 4, depends on how big your space is and stuff like that. Whereas on a balcony, it's also quite a similar concept. You're also dealing with planter boxes, but just in smaller sizes and with a bottom so that the water doesn't come out as much. So the gardens that we do, we use a method called no-dig gardening. And we don't really dig into the ground. What we do is we build from ground up or from your floor up. And we just set up these planter boxes. We fill in the soil. We use resources from around the neighborhood like brown leaves and like cut grass to create soil as well. And then we just start growing in them. It's actually as simple as that. And then after that, the onus is on the owner to water, to care for the plants and to make sure they grow. And that's actually the harder part.
And will there be at some point in time a need to expand the space that's necessary for this garden?
I think the space depends on the person's capacity because essentially the garden size is tied into how much that person can spend, how much time that person can spend in the garden. So usually we get clients to start small first and then once they get a hang of things, then they can expand their garden and increase their planter boxes or increase the number of plants and things like that. But we'd rather people start small rather than go big and then, you know, you have a complete farm, but then after that you have no farmer to take care of it, then there's no point also. It will all just go to waste.
Does the novelty wear off though? Because, you know, or do you generally see people get more into it after seeing the fruits of their labour?
I think it depends on what the agenda is. If people come into it as like they're looking at it as a trend, you know, it's kind of trendy, then yeah, I can see it like wearing off after time. But if they're looking to actually use it in their cooking, get a good bounty of harvest, or maybe like educate their kids about it as well, then there is longevity in it lah.
All right. It's time for a break, but when we come back, we discuss digitalization and the hurdles that come with exponential growth. Open for Business with Eats, Shoots and Roots. We'll be right back after these quick messages. BFM 89.9.
Behind famous men. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You are listening to Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj. Lau Xiaolin, co-founder of Eats, Shoots and Roots, is with me today. And Eats, Shoots and Roots, of course, is a social enterprise that for the last 7+ years, going on 8 actually, has been growing communities through growing food. Now, Xiaolin, you guys started back in 2012 with a small capital, I hear, of just 2,000 ringgit. With the size of your social enterprise today, how much does it take to today run Eats, Shoots and Roots?
How much does it take to run Eats, Shoots and Roots? More than 2,000 ringgit, that's for sure. So, I mean, we started off with 2 people and it was done on a project basis. And that was how we got our revenue. Now, I guess we are about 6 to 7 people. Mm. It takes a 5-digit number to run Eats, Shoots and Roots. I think sometimes clients ask us whether we're an NGO or whether, you know, they should pay us at all because, you know, we should be offering our services for free. Mm. But that's not the case. Obviously, we still need to eat and we still need to feed everyone within the company. So it takes a significant amount of ringgit to keep us running. But at the same time, I think it kind of works out well. I mean, we're not in it to like make $1 million, lah. You know, the intention really is to get people growing their own food, or at least trying to, with the bigger picture being people being more aware about the environment and making better choices. So yeah, it still takes money to run. Yeah.
What would you say is your highest overhead cost?
Highest overhead is actually the people. Mm. Because our company is very much, yeah, people-based. In terms of rental and all that, it's not very high, but it's the people. And because we're a service-based company, we educate people. So we go out, we teach, and we go consult about design, garden bids and things like that. So it's pretty much the people. Yeah, they cost the most.
Now, you said earlier rental is not it. I mean, you moved from a small space in Petaling Jaya. You are now in Damansara Heights. That's quite a costly area, I would say.
Yes. So it sounds as if we're like, wow, so booms and so atas, right? But with the new space, it's a way more efficient space because we share it with a sister company called Rimbun Montessori. And Rimbun Montessori, half of our space is dedicated to the kids. We've got 15, 2.5 to 4-year-olds running about. Ooh. In the space who are taken care of by Rimbun. And they utilize the garden. They do the planting. They do a lot of the digging as well. Part of the composting. So we share the space with them. And the garden at our space is actually better utilized in this new area.
2.5 to 4 years old. That sounds a bit young to be, I don't know, like learning how to grow their own food. But why that age bracket specifically?
Yeah, so I mean, we partnered with Rimbun because we felt that teaching adults is one thing, but we wanted to start from an earlier age so that when they transition to become adults, it's not such a huge leap of information. So we wanted to start them from young. And our partners, Puilin and Dahlia, they had their Montessori training and they really were very keen in integrating the garden systems together with kids because we all felt that it was a very strong point and a strong syllabus to have to integrate the gardening aspect with education. So that was pretty much the idea, and that's what we started in January this year, and they've been going strong since.
When you guys started, you were pretty much the pioneers in this segment. But now there are, like you said earlier, there are so many other businesses, so many other players doing similar workshops, selling the seed kits. Has this hurt business or made you pivot into a way that you specialize in a niche?
I wouldn't say it hurt our business, but I would say then the ecosystem has changed and things evolve over time. So I guess that's why we have meetings every couple of months or so to assess, to see, okay, if there are these people in the market, then should we still compete in that area or should we pivot? So pivoting is kind of a natural thing for us. We're quite used to it by now. And I think what keeps us going is that we always try to not compete too much with each other, because there's no point. It's such a small industry and everyone's in it for good reasons. There's not a good reason for us to compete with each other. So we always try to find our niche and try to see, okay, maybe this person does this area better, then let's focus on this part instead. In which at the moment, currently, it's very much education and the communicating our ideas and things like that to new people and new followers and things like that.
So I read your blog post from earlier this year when Eats, Shoots and Roots turned 7. You said that just in the last year alone, you've had to jump into uncharted territory and take on hurdle after hurdle that came with exponential growth. And so let's just talk a bit about these hurdles and what you mean by exponential growth.
Exponential growth meaning, I guess, our space. Because like you said earlier, the space that we had in Gussing was very much very, very, very small. It was a single-story, three-bedroom bungalow. And we actually started out from the hall. And when we were using the hall as the office, we rented out all the other rooms to tenants. Mm. And that was how we kept going. And now our property that we're at, we've got 4 floors and way more people in the space. So it's quite a different setup from before. And I guess the hurdles were like, you know, trying to help the team deal with this large growth. And then, you know, having a new partner as the new sister company, Rimbone, involved as well. So then now we're dealing with younger kids as well, having them in the space. So there was a lot of change that was involved in this growth. But I think so far we've dealt with it quite well, or the rest of the team have transitioned into it quite well. But it still took a bit of time to help everyone sort of settle into the new space and understand that, okay, it's not just about plants now. We also have kids involved. There's more people around. And yeah, I mean, so because a lot of the work that we do is also very people-based. Mm. And so, yeah, there's a lot of learning in that area.
So would you say talent is like the biggest challenge in running a business or a social enterprise?
For us, yes, because we are so heavily dependent on talent. And because the kind of talent that we look for is not very conventional. Everyone that has worked or is working in Eat, Shoots and Roots do not actually come from a typical agricultural background. Mm. Everyone has actually come from very much architecture or design or advertising or marketing or production. For some strange reason, this is the kind of people that have been involved in Eat, Shoots and Roots and have thrived since. So it's quite tricky because it's a different ball game. It's not so much agriculture-based. It's more education-based. Mm. So that's where our skills in this area come to light.
What about digitalization? Now, entrepreneurs, even the seasoned ones, seem to be hitting a wall when it comes to digitalization. What about your social enterprise?
So for us, when people look at us as a gardening business, very often they think that we would be the average age of 50.
No.
Because they associate gardening with seniors, which is not a bad thing, you know, all for seniors in gardening. But in that case, we're quite different from your typical agriculture setup. We're all maybe 20 to 30 plus. A lot of our systems are actually on the cloud. Maxis has helped us a lot in our digitalization as well, because even our accounting system is on the cloud. So when we are in the garden, we can actually check on our reports, accounting reports. When we are out, we can actually check on forms for registrations for our workshops. When we're in the garden, we can sort of check what kind of vegetables we have grown, because then we list them in a database on Airtable. So everything is done within our phones or on our laptops. It's very much a very digital company in that sense.
Charlene, when the going gets tough, right, what is it that drives you? I mean, what motivates you to take on another day? Because the thing with social enterprises is it's never the money that is the driver, right? So what is that drive behind each shoots and roots motivation?
Yeah, I think there are often many times when maybe we have had like a bad week, not say bad week, like a very tiring week, and then we question like, wow, is it really worth doing, you know, so much effort for not a lot of money sometimes. But then we will have a workshop and then we will see the looks on people's faces, like being so surprised that like, oh my God, this is actually what a seat looks like, is it? And that is when we feel that, okay, this is where our work stands out the most. Even if it's just simply introducing a person to what a seat looks like. Mm. And that keeps us going. And seeing kids and their happy faces when they start planting something and when they pop up, I think that is quite a magical moment. And that really is the part that keeps us, well, not too depressed about, you know, the world, the environment, and it keeps us going, lah. That's the main thing.
And what's the plan to reach new segments of urbanites who don't realize yet that they want to grow their own food? How are you reaching out to this untapped section of the public?
We're not a very hard sell marketing company because we feel that for gardening, you can't really push people into gardening if they don't really want to. So the best thing that we can do is help existing customers and existing clients build their gardens, make sure that they have successes along the way. And then after that, maybe they'll tell their friends. They will share it with other people around them, their communities, and they will slowly infiltrate the rest of Malaysia that way, lah. But yeah, that's what we're hoping.
If I'm not mistaken, you guys used to do like pop-ups and bazaars and stuff like that before. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so we do participate in booths and markets from time to time. So those are avenues for us to try to get new people into gardening. Those people who don't already know the work that we do. Reach new markets. Also target like a younger crowd or a new crowd. Because different markets are at different spaces and things like that. So yeah, that's always helpful.
All right. And just before we go, Charlene, you know, what's next for Eats, Shoots and Roots? How are you looking to expand? And what do you see happening in time for your 10th anniversary?
10th anniversary. I think currently our current setup or the way that we're structured, we're already quite lean. So it's a matter of just making sure that we do our work well, making it more efficient. And over time, if we can increase our customers within the same areas that we're in at the moment, which is through education, within designing gardens for people, and also with our merchandise and things like that, we'll just stick to our current strategy, which is do it well and then increase business, and then we can hire more people to make it run better. That's pretty much it, really. Very simple.
Charlene, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Lau Charlene, co-founder of Eats, Shoots and Roots. Now, for more information on this social enterprise, you can go visit their website, which is at
www.eatshootsandroots.com.
Special voice just for the website. You can also check them out on Instagram. Their handle is
Eats, Shoots and Roots. So all plural with S's.
And if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website, bfm.my. The podcast should be up any minute now. Also on the BFM app and all other platforms where you can listen to podcasts, we're there as well. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Shaolin from Eats, Shoots and Roots, thank you for listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.